الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم. I ask Allah to grant us the sincere intentions. If you remember, we were saying yesterday that the one who utters a blasphemous statement while understanding its meaning, of course, intentionally he utters it, blasphemes, whether he feels delighted about it or not, relaxed about it or not. But there is only one case in which the one who utters a blasphemous statement is not judged to be a blasphemer by that, except if he feels delighted or with uttering this statement, which is when one is threatened to say such a statement. We mean by the threatened person the one who was threatened to be killed or the like to utter the blasphemous statement. And he was in a situation in which he cannot escape being killed except by uttering this statement. In this case, if he utters the blasphemous statement while his heart is steadfast to the belief of Islam, he does not blaspheme. Now, if he feels delighted when uttering the blasphemous statement, then he blasphemes, although he is under the threat of being killed when he mentions it, because he feels comfortable, relaxed, happy with that blasphemous statement. This is the judgment because Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Which means, those who apostate, who become blasphemers after being believers, they will be punished severely by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, except those who were threatened, that is by killing and the like, while their hearts are still firm about the belief. This is how Ibn Abbas interpreted the verse. So Al-Quran tells us that there is only one case in which the one who utters the blasphemous statement is not judged as a blasphemer, except if he feels delighted about that, which is the case of the person threatened by death and the like. Only one case. Al-Quran tells us that there is only one case. The one who claims that in other cases also it is a condition for one to be judged as a blasphemer, to feel delighted about the blasphemous statement, then such a person would be belying Al-Quran. Such a person is claiming that the one who is not threatened by death has the same judgment as the one who is. But Al-Quran did not mention that the judgment is the same. Al-Quran mentioned that there is difference among the judgments of those two cases. So the one who says no, in all the cases this is a condition, then he is belying Al-Quran. In several cases, when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام judged some people that they committed apostasy, whenever their statements were not under the threat of death or the like, The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام never asked were these people delighted about those statements or not. He never asked this question. But when Ammar ibn Yasir uttered the blasphemous statement under the threat of death, the Prophet asked him, was he delighted when he said that or not? This is so because being delighted about saying the blasphemous statement is a condition for one to be judged as a blasphemer in one case only, which is the case of the one who is threatened by death or the like, that is. Ammar ibn Yasir once came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and told him that the blasphemers threatened him, and because of that they actually tortured him and he was threatened to be killed. So under that threat he uttered a blasphemous statement. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام asked him if he was delighted about it when he uttered it. He said no. The Prophet said, then if they do that again with you, you are entitled, it is permissible for you to say what you said again, to repeat what you said. This is only in the case of the person who is threatened by death or the like. This hadith is narrated by Ibn al-Munzir and others. As you can see, what Sayyid Sabiq said, and actually, as we said, he took it from the book of Ash-Shawkani, who is not among Ahl Sunnah, and who is famous by several perverted statements, deviated judgments. Such a statement goes against Al-Quran, belies the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, breaches the consensus of the nation. It goes against the explicit statements of Imams like Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, against the practices of all the Muslim judges, all the Imams and Muslim judges since the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And after that, the companions, the five righteous caliphs, then the Umayyad caliphs, then the Abbasis, against all of that, against the explicit statements of Imams like Ash-Shafi'i and others, against the explicit statements of the Hanafi scholars, Shafi'i scholars, Maliki scholars and Hanbali scholars. So such a statement does not have any weight. Moreover, it is blasphemy. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Do you have any question up till here about what we mentioned? When we said the one who is threatened by death and what is similar to that, what do we mean similar to that or like that? We mean by that like if he is threatened to be beaten in a way which will lead to him to die. This would be similar to the threat of killing him. As for the case, if one is threatened by cutting his finger or his toe, cutting off his finger, cutting off his toe, taking his money, putting one in jail, killing one's relative, one's son, one's daughter, etc., this is not considered enough to be permissible for him to utter the blasphemous statement. without being delighted about it, of course. When one is threatened to utter the blasphemous statement, this differs from the case when one is threatened to divorce his wife. There are several kinds of threats. If one under any of them divorces his wife is not considered divorced. The divorce does not take place. As for the issue of uttering a blasphemous statement, it's only the threat of him being killed or what's similar to that. In jailing him in the case of uttering a blasphemous statement is not considered a threat that makes it permissible for him to say that statement. As in the case of divorce, it is. In the case of the divorce, it is less restrictive. Be careful. I'm mentioning this so no one among you would read about what is considered ikrah, a threat that allows him to do some things that are prohibited originally for him to do. So no one would read in a book of fiqh that putting him in jail, taking his money, etc. is considered ikrah. And then he would think that this applies to the issue of apostasy, of uttering a blasphemous statement. It does not. You have two scales. One scale for the blasphemous statements or doings, and another scale for other issues. The author said, An-Nawawi and other scholars of the four schools classified apostasy into three categories: apostate beliefs, apostate actions, and apostate sayings. Each category of apostasy is divided into many subdivisions. They said that apostasy is of three categories because the blasphemy, either it takes place with one's heart, or with one's tongue, or with one's organs. And this is why blasphemy, apostasy, is divided into three types. The type that takes place with the heart, the type that takes place with the mouth, the type that takes place with the organs, other organs. Every one of those three types is enough alone for the one who commits it to be judged as a blasphemer. Alone. It is not a condition that two of those three types or the three types would come together for one to be judged as apostate. Allah said in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, which means the believers are those who believe in Allah and His Prophet and they do not doubt about that. This means that the one who doubts about that is not a believer. Where does the doubt take place? In the heart. So this means that there is a type of blasphemy that occurs in the heart, with the heart. This is one type. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah said, يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ, which means they swear by Allah that they did not utter such statement. Really they did. And by that they are judged as blasphemers after they were treated as Muslims. from this verse, it is clear that one would be judged as a blasphemer only because uttering a blasphemous statement. So this is the second type of blasphemy. It is of apostasy. It is what occurs with the tongue, with the mouth. In Surah Fussilat, Allah said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرُ, which means, among the signs of the oneness and the power of Allah is the night, the day, the sun, and the moon. That is, all of those are created. So do not prostrate to the sun and do not prostrate to the moon. From this verse, it is known that there is a kind of apostasy that occurs with the organs, like prostrating to the sun or the moon. It does not involve talking. It does not necessitate a belief in the heart. Just by doing that, this is blasphemy. Dividing blasphemy into those three types, and that every one of them is enough if one does it for one to be judged as a blasphemer, is a case of consensus among the scholars of the four schools. An example among the Shafi'i scholars is An-Nawawi in his book Al-Minhaj. And all those Shafi'is who explained this book, this famous book, mentioned the same matter. This is only an example among the Shafi'is. Among the Malikis, Khalil in his very, very famous summary mentioned that. There is a summary, a book, which is called The Summary of Khalil, that the Malikis usually start learning it when one starts to learn the Maliki school. And in this book, those three subdivisions are mentioned. Of course, all those who explained that book mentioned that. Again, this is an example among the Malikis. In the Hanafi school, there is this very famous book called Hashiyat ibn Abidin. Sometimes it's called Hashiyat al-Shami. In it, this division is mentioned. An example among the Hanbalis is Al-Buhuti, among others. While we were talking in the previous days, we mentioned sometimes some examples. I think of the three types. For example, we mentioned that among the blasphemous beliefs is for one to believe that the universe does not have a beginning, whether by kind only or by kind and elements. Likewise, to believe that Allah resembles the creation, or that Allah changes, or that the will of Allah changes, or that any of the attributes of the self of Allah is created, or to believe that Allah has a color. Likewise, to believe that Allah moves, or that Allah is in the state of emotion, because all of that contradicts the saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Among the blasphemous actions is to throw the Mus'haf, the book of Quran, in the garbage, while one knows that this is the book of Quran. Among the blasphemous actions, to prostrate to an idol, to prostrate to the devil, to prostrate to the fire, or to write the verses of Quran with urine. Some people said that If someone is sick and he wants to get cured, let him write Al-Fatiha with urine. This is blasphemy. In the printed copy of Hashiyat Ibn Abidin, he copies this blasphemous issue from one of the Hanafi books. He doesn't say let one do that, but he copies from that book. Despite that, this statement most likely is added to the original book. That is, Ibn Abidin himself did not copy this matter from that book. Because Ibn Abidin himself, in another book, he states clearly that if one has a certain sickness in his nose, he says it is not permissible to do what some people do when they write a verse from Quran using the blood on the forehead of the sick person. So Ibn Abidin himself says that this is not permissible. He said because the blood is najis. And as you all know, the urine is more najas, filthy than the blood. So most likely this is not his statement. Someone added it to that book, in the printed copy of that book. Moreover, his grandson, who was a well-known Hanafi scholar and he became a mufti in Syria, he made it clear in one of his books that this is not permissible. This person, the grandson of Ibn Abidin, his name is Abu Yusuf, he was a scholar who applies the rules of the religion. He was a pious scholar. The government in Syria, they wanted him to do something which is against the rules of the religion, to say something which goes against the rules of the religion. He said, I don't do that, and he resigned. So he said that this is not permissible. Anyway, whomever says that it is permissible to write Al-Quran with the urine is a blasphemer. As for the statements that take one out of Islam, those are much more than the beliefs and the actions. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, أكثر خطايا ابن آدم من لسانه, which means most of the sins one does are sins of the tongue. It is narrated by At-Tabarani from the route of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام with a sahih chain of narrators. For this division, for those three types to be well understood, the author moves to mention many examples of each kind. The author said, examples of the first category of apostasy, that is, the apostate beliefs, are having the doubt in Allah, His Messenger, the Quran, the Day of Judgment, Paradise, Hell, Reward or Punishment, or having the doubt in similar matters upon which there has been scholarly consensus. There are matters which the scholar and layman person knows that those matters are among the matters of the religion. Those matters are called known by necessity to be among the matters of the religion. If the scholar or the layman is asked about any of those matters, he answers immediately without the need of going through a process of deduction, proofs and deduction. Those matters, anyone who doubts about one of them blasphemes. as an example, Al-Quran. The one who doubts, is Al-Quran truthful or not, he blasphemes. Another example is the Day of Judgment. Anyone who doubts, is it going to occur or not, blasphemes. For example, Paradise. The one who doubts, do the pious people enter Paradise in the hereafter or not, blasphemes. Another example, Hellfire. Whoever doubts, do the blasphemers enter Hellfire in the hereafter or not, blasphemes. This is an example of the blasphemous beliefs. But let me draw your attention here to something. There are matters among the matters of the religion that one cannot deduce them by just thinking about them, just going through a certain process of deduction. He cannot be sure about them. He can only be sure about them by hearing from others about them. For example, the torture in the grave. How would one know that there is a torture in the grave for a part of the people, for the blasphemers, for example, except by hearing that from the Muslims? Then he knows that this is believing in that is a part of the religion. Because of that, if someone embraces Al-Islam and then after a short time, before him hearing about such matters, someone asks him, for example, is there torture in the grave for a part of people? And he thinks, I don't know. Because up till that point, he doesn't hear from anyone about this issue. Such person, we do not judge him as a blasphemer. Because there is no way for him to know about that, except by hearing about that from other Muslims, which did not happen to him yet. So in this case, such a person is not judged as a blasphemer, although he doubts about it. This is not the case of someone who is raised among the Muslims, who heard from them, who knows that the Muslims in general, all of them, they believe about the torture in the grave for a part of people. Such person, if he denies or doubts about the torture in the grave, blasphemes. Is this clear? On the other hand, if one doubts, is Allah attributed with the power over everything or not? Does Allah know about everything or not? Does Allah resemble the creation or not? Is Prophet Muhammad truthful or not? Is the Prophet attributed with the good manners, or is he attributed with meanness and low characters? In such cases, the one who doubts about that blasphemes. Even if one is a new Muslim, even if he embraced Al-Islam recently, because such a doubt contradicts the basic of the belief. The basic of the belief. One cannot be a believer while he doubts if Allah is one or not. One cannot be a believer when one doubts is Prophet Muhammad is truthful or not. So this contradicts the basics of the belief. This is why even if a new Muslim does that, he becomes a blasphemer. No, if this is the first thing he hears, he thinks this is what the Muslims say. Nothing, this is repeating what we said, nothing new. Or the author said, believing the world is eternal by kind and elements, or by kind only. We already talked about this. Anyone who doubts about the world being creating, or any part of it being created, then this person is a blasphemer. Being created, then this person is blasphemer, because by this he is claiming that something, or doubting that something, is eternal with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And by that, one blasphemes. We talked about this. There is no difference in opinions among the Muslim scholars about this matter. Let us stop here for now. Allah knows best. Well, if you have any questions, go ahead. هذا ينطبق على Anyone who doubts about anyone among the 13 attributes which we mentioned yesterday, then one blasphemes. Because doubting about that contradicts the basics of the belief. The very basics of the belief. If sometimes it happens, rarely, but it happens. If a Muslim is raised among Muslims, but in a way that the people around him, the people that he gets always in contact with, do not talk about the matters of the religion. So he grows up without hearing about the torture of the grave at all. Then someone asks him about that. Then this, although he was raised among Muslims, this has the same judgment as the new Muslim, because he never heard about it before. So the same judgment applies on him. Muhammad, Abu Salah. Go ahead, brother.
Sheikh Samir, regarding the three types of apostasy, if referring to actions, if one were to prostrate to a thing without the intention of worshiping it, is this...
We will mention the details about this issue, but let me now say, if something is an idol, something which is worshipped by the blasphemers, just prostrating to it is blasphemy. And I will give more details in the coming class, inshallah. If one is threatened by death or the like to do an action of blasphemy, it takes the same judgment, it has the same judgment of uttering a statement, which means if he does it while his heart is steadfast to the belief, then he doesn't blaspheme. If he does it while liking it, then he blasphemes. Brother Ali, go ahead.
Sheikh Samir, there's someone, they consider him a prominent American Muslim, and it's on one of his websites. He says that those people who believe that Allah Ta'ala is up in the heavens, that they are excused from kufr because they live in a land away from the Muslims. He mentions this rule, but can you explain this?
Why doesn't he make then an excuse for the Christians who live away from Muslims? If this was a... A'udhu billah. Just because they say with their tongues, La ilaha illallah, then he has to make excuses for the Druze, who believe that, who say with their tongues, La ilaha illallah, but they say Muhammadun Rasulullah, but they believe that when they say Allah, they mean by that a man who lived in Egypt, his name is Al-Hakim. And when they say Muhammad Rasulullah, they mean other than Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So they say that. Does he make an excuse for them also? Or what? What does he say then about someone who says that Allah is in need for us? And he says, La ilaha illallah. Does he consider that an excuse for him? And what does he say about someone who says Allah is in need to eat and sleep and defecate? Does he make an excuse for him? If not, then the same rule applies for those. If yes, then I don't think he will say yes. Then he will be crazy, totally crazy if he says yes. What does a Muslim mean? A Muslim means someone who has the same creed as the Prophet, isn't this? What does he claim, that this was the creed of the Prophet or not? A'udhu billah. One moment. Those people, they... all what they want... Do you know about what they care? They care about the perverted politics. This is what they care about. This is why they say those statements. They want politics support from this group and this group. They don't want to get upset, to upset anyone. They do not seek the reward in the hereafter and to adhere to the rules of the religion. This is why they say what they say. Tfaddali Dariya.
What about the person who newly entered Islam or the person who claims to be Muslim but isn't well informed, who claims to believe in hellfire and believe in paradise but tries to come up with inventive ways, for instance, you know, hellfire in the mind, paradise in the mind, these kinds of things, or...
What do you think about someone who says, I believe that the Muslims have to pray five times every day, but prayer means to say La ilaha illallah three times. What would be such a person?
So
really, he is not believing in prayers.
Yeah, I mean it's not.
He does not believe in prayers.
Right, it's not
he disbelieve in the prayers. Just he says the word prayers, and this is the same thing.
You're familiar with the evolutionists who try to say
with
the evolutionists who try to say that the world is billions of years old.
Okay.
That the world was created billions of years ago.
Okay.
And then the person who calls himself Muslim who tries to reconcile what is known Islamically with those kinds of judgments by saying.
So what do they say?
Well, I've heard the claim that time.
They have. There is one point they can't escape it. Either they say the universe has a beginning or not.
Yeah.
If they say it does not have a beginning, then khalas, they left out the belief of Islam.
Right.
If they say it has a beginning and Allah created it, then what do they say about us, human beings? Either they say we are the offsprings of Prophet Adam, as Al-Quran says, or they say that we are the offsprings of a certain thing similar to an ape, and not Prophet Adam alayhi salam. If they say that we are the offsprings of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, then they are adhering to what Al-Quran said. If they say no, then they are belying Al-Quran. They are not Muslims. If they want to say, well, Al-Quran mentioned that because at that time they wouldn't be familiar with those ideas of evolution, so they are attributing lying to Allah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, regardless of the way that they present it. Moreover, no, the Arabs, they were familiar with such ideas. Some among them, they believed that the world didn't have a beginning, and the people, they say, just as the people here say, and this is mentioned in Al-Quran itself. So, and Al-Quran refuted that. So, those are people who really do not believe in Al-Islam. They are attached to a certain social style called Al-Islam, which they call Al-Islam. They don't want to go out of this social life, but they don't want to adhere really as far as the belief, they believe in what those philosophers or whomever say. They are not Muslims, regardless of what they say. And since long time, such people existed. And since long time, the Muslim scholars unanimously judge them as blasphemers. This is not something new.
Sheikh Samir, the people who live away from the Muslims and they never heard about from Muslims about a Muslim, or they never heard the call of Islam, but they heard through the media. This media, you know, always they don't tell about the true Muslim. So the media consider us the one who, like, balagatul da'watul Islam.
The ones who?
The media consider.
Did they hear that the Muslims, did they hear that a man called Muhammad appeared and said, I am the messenger of God?
You mean through the media, you mean?
Yes.
Through the media, you know how in this media
This is the bottom of it.
Okay.
If they heard that this is the basic call of Islam, then they got it. Even if they hear it from other than Muslims.
Barakallah.
Wafiq.
Like the new Muslim, he's learning. He hears a case from his teacher, and he like he thinks that this is something like weird, something wacko. Like this, is that enough for them? Like just hearing it from that one person, is that enough for them to be considered known about it?
Does he believe at that point that this is what all the Muslims say, or he believes that this teacher maybe he's wrong?
I don't know.
If he believes that this teacher is wrong, then he would be still considered like a new Muslim in this issue. Everything which is mentioned in Al-Quran, it is truthful, regardless of what this person says or that person says. One time a person came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and told him, my brother has like diarrhea. The Prophet told him, let him drink honey, that is honey with water, mixed with water. That person did. He came back, he told him, it didn't stop. The Prophet repeated again, give him honey to drink. The man did that and the diarrhea didn't stop. Three times he came back to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, telling him that it didn't stop. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام kept saying to let him drink honey that is mixed with water. And the fourth time the Prophet told him, let him drink honey. صدق الله, Allah is truthful. Literally I'm translating. Someone might say, Allah is truthful and the stomach is of your brother. Literally someone might say a liar. Which means, regardless of the situation of the stomach, of what you see about the situation of the stomach of your brother, what Allah said is truth. Which means, Allah revealed to me that in this case, if he is given honey to drink, this would cure him. So regardless of what you see now, this is the truth. Then this man kept doing what the Prophet said. He came back, he said, my brother is cured. This is how we should be. This is how we should be. Barakallahu feekum. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. In the past, all of you know what they used to say about the olive oil, don't you? Don't you remember? What did they used to say about olive oil? In the past, they used to say, don't eat olive oil. It harms for cholesterol, etc. Now, what do they see? For years, they kept saying that. They claimed they did researches, etc. Yani, they kept, really? They kept doing that until a lot of people started to use the corn oil and the like, so they can sell it. So after that was established, they went back to say, now what do they say? Olive oil is good for the one who has cholesterol. It doesn't harm. Well, the Prophet said, "Kulu zayt wadahinu bihi," which means eat olive oil and wipe yourselves with it. We have to believe in what the Prophet said, regardless of what others say. Because there is not even one scientific fact, really a fact, that contradicts the religion. But whatever the religion says, we believe in that, regardless of what others say. The past year, not the past year, years ago, do you remember when Clinton was in the office? Wasn't there a big issue about smoking with different companies of tobacco? Do you remember that? And those big amounts of money that the companies were fined to pay. Do you remember this case? One day I was listening to the news, and on the news they said that some people in some laboratories, researchers, they discovered certain benefits for smoking, etc. They put it on the news. I heard it once. And then after, when the next news program came, they put the same news, the same ones, except this one. I never heard it after that. I heard it with my ears. You know why. You know why, how things go. We believe in what the Prophet said, regardless of what others say. Barakallahu feekum. DVD.